which stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
If you would bow with me for a moment of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, King of the universe, we come before you today asking your blessing upon our meeting here. Father, we look around at the country that we have come to love so much, and we see so many things that bother us. Father, we don't propose to place any religion on anybody in this country, but we want to return to the foundations that we established this country on, that of goodness and honesty and decency, treating each other with love and respect. We pray for all those in powers of positions of power, all elected officials, that they might do the job that they're for and to do it in accordance with the principles that made this country so great. Father, just now bless this meeting. Give us your guidance and wisdom, we ask in your Son's name, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Okay. Any additions or changes to the agenda? I don't really have any. No, I don't. Okay. I don't hear any, so, okay. First thing on the order of business, I want to introduce our new person. It says so right there. She says new person. That's our new commissioner, Blake Wolford. And he's he comes with not inexperienced as a commissioner. He was a commissioner some years ago, for about 6 years, I think. And he's going to take up Chuck Rax's place. Chuck, I know you're not here, but we thank you very much for your service. And I do understand why you needed to resign. Life can get too full sometimes, and with too many things, the irons in the fire, one can not do justice to all of them. But I'm happy for him. He got a wonderful promotion at his full-time job, and so he elected to vacate after 2.5 years. But we wish him the best, and we welcome Blake.
Thank you.
All right.
Can I say just one quick thing?
Absolutely.
I did want to say just a word of gratitude for Chuck, because he did do a great job. He was a wonderful person, and he's an asset to the community. So we thank him for his public service, but much like the founders meant it to be, he did public service and then went back to his real job. So if there's more of that, I think we'd be all better off with that along those lines. I am honored to be back on this esteemed board with such quality folks as Jerry and Ron. Hopefully we'll be able to work together to move things ahead, advance things when we can, and stay out of the way when we should. I'm hopeful we can find consensus on most topics and cheerfully agree to disagree when the situation presents itself that way. So I'm also tickled to be back here. I see a lot of old faces in the different departments and offices, and I was very impressed to see that the quality of the department heads, the elected officials, and their staff has never been more impressive. So, you know, it looks like, you know, something right, you know. Well done. Glad to be here.
Yes, I have to second that. We do have a great group of people here that work for the county. They work for less than what they could probably make somewhere else. But many of them work here because they love the job, they love the county, and they love what they do. And I appreciate everyone who works and gets paid, and for all those volunteers who give their time without any pay just to make things happen. And that's what makes a wonderful community when people chip in and offer their services and help in any way that they possibly can. We have a lot of that in this county. So Chuck was the vice president of the board. He was selected to position each year. We elect a president, the vice president, and the third person that is a member, board member. So I think it only fair to elect this position again rather than just because he's his replacement. He's a replacement commissioner, not necessarily a replacement vice president. So I'd entertain a motion, or I'd entertain a nomination for vice president of this board. Hearing none, I will nominate Blake Wolford.
Second.
second?
Second.
All in favor, raise your right hand, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Okay. I have no problem with that, and folks,
Recording stopped.
Except the album. That's what they gave you.
It's all your mic on.
Yep. We're good to go on?
Yeah, you're good, it's recording now.
Okay, good. So, yeah, what was I? Oh, yeah, that's why there's three of us, and not just one. And I like that situation. It's been proposed in some years past that the Board of Commissioners would be reduced down to one executive for the county. And I don't really like that idea. I like the situation we have because sometimes we don't agree, and that's okay. There's nothing wrong with having a split vote. We've had several since I've been commissioner. We work together, but sometimes we have differences of opinion, so that's okay. So bear with us. Okay, congratulations, Dr. Blake.
Thank you.
And,
appreciate it.
We will move on then. We have minutes and claims. Didn't have a lot of time, I guess, to look at the claims. I don't know. Did you want more time, Ron?
It's hard for me to go over these just sitting here in a meeting at 5 minutes.
Okay.
I requested that I get the claims approximately a week before a commissioner meeting.
Okay.
I don't want nobody not to get paid. That's kind of my number one rule, everybody gets paid. In the past, we've been looking at this stuff and we've had some questions on some claims, so I want to view them earlier. I'll make a motion that we actually approve the minutes and the claims, but I need advance time to look at these numbers. There's too much. We're missing things. I found something that I believe saved the county possibly $31,000. Jerry found something that possibly saved the county $20,000. We found something else that probably saved the county another couple thousand on claims. So we need to really take the time. The money's drying up. All the ARPA money is just pretty much gone with the courthouse deal and the new coroner office. So we're going to run tight on money, I believe. So we really need to be watching what we spend money on. So I made a motion we approve the claims and minutes.
Okay. You want to make that contingent on your examination?
I'm going to go ahead and approve them this time.
Okay. Okay.
But next time, I'd like to see them at least a week early.
Okay.
And then if there's a few that straggle in afterwards, I can look at them. I can probably keep up with that.
Okay.
That's too much money going through without paying, using due diligence on it.
Definitely have to do our due diligence. No question about that. We always do. And
have you had a chance to view them, Blake? No?
Okay.
But, I'm willing to second this, but I'm like you. I think it's probably not a bad idea to have a week ahead of time.
Yeah. And I'd like to have copies of these so I could go over them,
Okay. Yeah.
Is that okay, Julie? And it's also my understanding that some of these claims get paid already. There's certain claims that get paid. And I understand there's an ordinance that was passed in 2003, so we didn't have late fees and stuff like that. And that's fine. If there's any way on my copy you can identify which ones had already been paid, that would help. And I noticed actually on some of these, Chuck had already signed them.
Yeah.
Is that going to be voided?
No.
No?
They were ready when he was...
Are the ones he signed, was that the ones that are in the ordinance that could already be paid?
They were ready when he was at his end.
Okay.
So he's going to have him sign them.
Yeah, as long as he was only in the office at the time the claims were presented.
He was in office at the time the claims.
We can accept his signature as...
On 5/25/23. And he actually signs these? It wasn't like electric DocuSign?
He sat into my office and signed every one of them.
Okay. So you're good with it too?
I'm good with it.
Okay. Make my motion, I believe Blake has seconded.
Yeah, I think we're perfectly legal in order of accepting his signature, but he was the ballot commissioner at the time that he did that. Okay, we have a motion and motion and second. Is there any discussion? Any questions about what we're doing here? We want people to get paid on time. And all your department heads out there, remember, you got to get them into the auditor before they get paid, so don't hold them up. Okay, all in favor, raise your right hand and say aye.
Aye.
Thank you. Okay, we'll move on to office department reports, boards and committees and all of that. And I think first up we have Kayla Robertson to bring us, I think, the staff reports for a couple of issues. You want to do them separately, or you want to go ahead and do the staff for both of them?
We can do them separately, if that,
okay.
That
right.
Probably would be better for minutes.
Okay. I think the first one in order would have been James and Teresa Schultz.
Okay.
Okay.
And do you want me to read the actual staff report, just the certification? How do you want it done?
Let's just read the report. Yeah.
Read the report? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. This is docket number 23-RZ-02. The hearing date through the Planning Commission was April 25th of 2023, and this is a staff report for the Schultz rezone. The request was to rezone 2 acres from secondary residential R2 to general business. The petitioners and owners are James and Teresa Schultz. The location, the property is located at 1993 Greasy Creek Road on the east side of the road in Washington Township, approximately 1.5 miles north of the intersection of Greasy Creek Road and Old State Road 46. Zoning and current land use. The property is currently zoned secondary residential, R2, with a farmhouse, garage, 2 small sheds, and 2 large barns existing. The property is located outside of the 1% annual chance flood area per the effective firm, which is the flood insurance rate maps. General findings. 1, the petitioners are requesting rezoning approval to begin using the existing buildings as the Brown County Art Farm with the idea of allowing affordable housing and a workspace for small businesses. 2, the property has special exception approval from 1993 to operate an office. 3, the petitioners would continue to utilize the farmhouse as a long-term rental using the existing septic system. 4, a soil evaluation was conducted on April 12, 2022. The petitioner states that the area was allocated for a 6-bedroom septic system. 5, if rezoning is approved, the owners would like to remodel one of the existing barns into 2 separate 1-bedroom apartments with studio space. The remaining barn could be used as a 3-bedroom home or as a large workspace. 6, the petitioners wish to add covenants to the property, including the types of businesses allowed with business hours, as well as noise and environmental restrictions. 7, the allowed businesses would be, quote, small, quiet, non-polluting, low traffic, end quote. Such businesses include artists, writers, craft makers, gardeners, small web-based businesses, graphic designers, 3D printers, frame makers, seamstresses, and small educational classes. 8, general business districts, according to the Brown County Zoning Ordinance, are established to include areas that are appropriate to all kinds of businesses and services. 9, a change to GB zoning would allow additional uses at the location, including residential, agricultural, light industrial, and a variety of other business uses with and without the necessity of a special exception. 10, electricity is provided by South Central Indiana REMC. Water service is provided by Brown County Water Utility Incorporated. 11, the structures themselves and the ingress and egress already exist. 12, the comprehensive plan under overall goals provides that to consider the impact of changing land use development on adjoining landowners. 13, also under development, commercial uses objective states to encourage commercial development that takes into consideration the county's environment and culture, and to recognize that commercial development should serve the community's economic development needs. 14, this is still in the comprehensive plan, supporting policies states that commercial development should have minimal impact on adjoining property, neighbors, or public roads. 15, under elements that guide the plan, the desire to discourage economic decline and foster economic development are two sides of the same coin, and both are important elements in guiding a comprehensive plan for Brown County. Of the two, the desire to discourage economic decline is the more important, for without it, there will be too few residents to preserve anything. In this regard, existing economic activities such as farming, logging, arts and crafts of all sorts, tourist-oriented businesses, home maintenance businesses, etc., should be protected and encouraged and accommodated as long as they remain compatible with the desire to preserve. For the same reason, the ability of residents to commute easily to jobs in neighboring counties and to operate mail-based, telephone-based, and internet-based businesses, Brown County should be protected and, where possible, enhanced. And this is the Indiana Code 36-7-4-603. Describes the criteria to be used for review of zoning requests by the Plan Commission and the legislative body. Both shall pay reasonable regard to A, the comprehensive plan, B, the current conditions and character of current structures and uses in each district, C, the most desirable use for which the land in each district is adapted, D, the conservation of property values throughout the jurisdiction, and E, responsible development and growth. And that's the end of the staff report.
Okay, thank you very much. Mm-hmm. We've had a number of rezoning issues come before since I've been commissioner the last 7 years, and we've followed a general practice of only allowing general business on state highways or in areas where there were several existing general business, and avoided spot zoning, or what had been called spot zoning. In other words, we don't want to just go out here in the middle of nowhere and say, okay, you have a business here, and you've got neighbors, residential of the neighborhood that may be affected by it. But there's always exceptions to the rule, and I've looked very carefully at the situation as well as the law, and I don't see a better way to resolve this and accomplish what I think the county needs without making a little exception here to that rule. And that's because it's a unique situation. And I like the idea of what they're doing. I think the county needs more small business, things that don't make noise, things that don't go boom in the night and all that, you know. And it's got, something's gonna create a lot of traffic or inconvenience for the neighbors. And I've had no one complain about this situation, to me at least, openly or otherwise, that I've heard. And so I think with certain conditions, I would be in favor of approving this. The Plan Commission itself put, I think, five conditions on, four conditions on this rezoning. Now, these conditions can only be put on there as long as the petitioner agrees to them. We can't just say, okay, you can do this, you can do that. But if the petitioner agrees, and we can put these conditions on it, and if you, would you just repeat the conditions that they pointed
sure.
out?
So in the certification, it was a 4-1 vote with two members absent to send a favorable recommendation to the commissioners with the following recorded commitments. So those would be recorded with the deed for the property. No matter when it changed hands or how many times it changed hands in the future, these commitments would still be on that property if this were approved. So, one, time of business operations, 9 a.m. to dusk. Noise, any sound generated cannot exceed the moderate noise levels of 70 decibels at the property line. No outdoor amplified music or sound be allowed. Three, environmental, all tenants must recycle and keep their environment clean from any trash or pollutants. Four, businesses allowed. Any small, quiet, non-polluting, low-traffic businesses like, but not limited to, artists, writers, craft makers, gardeners, small web-based businesses, graphic designers, 3D printers, frame makers, seamstresses, and small educational classes.
Okay.
And those were agreed to by the petitioner prior to the recommendation being sent to the commission.
Okay. I think I'll see if the other commissioners agree with me. I would like to also place a condition that this property could not be turned into a tourist rental, either in part or in whole, in the future. That really opens up a completely separate issue. So, gentlemen, I take your comments.
The other day I come down that road running the speed limit, and I got passed by somebody who's probably running over 60 mile an hour, and on a double yellow line. If you're heading south, the visual on that drive, because of the overgrowth in front of the old farmhouse, appears to somewhat block it. My fear would be if somebody was going north and somebody was going south, running 40 mile an hour, running speed limit, and somebody pulls out in front of the person that's going north. The natural reaction is to swerve and probably into the oncoming car. And if two cars are running 40 mile an hour each, what you have is an 80 mile an hour impact. And somebody could lose their life. I'm not comfortable with that. I'm not going to tell them they got to clean it up. But typically, businesses have view of their drives where people are coming in and out. That was my main concern with it.
Okay. The site...
The entrance and exit. It's not so bad going north, but going south, it is somewhat blocked. And creating that for the other residents on the road, you know, a lot of people travel that road are not even going to be aware that there's going to be a lot of traffic coming in and out of there. I don't know if a sign has been discussed.
Not as far as I know.
Yeah.
Okay. I do know that there was a larger business there for many, many years. Mm-hmm. That had vehicles coming in and out.
The plumbing?
No, electric, yeah.
Electric. Mm-hmm.
Then multiple vehicles coming in and out daily.
I believe there's other issues that probably need to be looked at. It's my understanding that we're probably, the window of time is running out, that if it's not voted on in 90 days, that it becomes, that they can do it.
I believe so. I believe if no action is taken, and that's something that we definitely should check with legal on, but if no action is taken by the legislative body within 90 days, I think the approval goes to petitioners.
Yeah, and we're probably 60 some days in.
I believe we're about 60 in, yeah.
Yeah. So, at this time, I'm not willing to make a recommendation.
Thanks, Mr. President. I come past her about every day. You know, I have for a long time. They've done nothing. The Schultzes have done nothing there except improve the neighborhood. I get jealous every time I see that the little barn or the planting area. But they've always had a top-notch operation when the electric company was there. I did notice a significant amount of traffic in or out, and I can't imagine that the minimal amount of people that are going to be coming in there is going to make a significant amount of traffic hazard. As far as the speeding up and down there, of course, that's an issue for the Sheriff's Department to take care of if they're speeding. But as far as that goes, I think you had me at Art Farms. There's two peaks. Two things in Brown County, you can't put more quintessentially Brown County than that. So I would be happy to go ahead and make a motion to approve.
Okay. I don't normally necessarily do this, but I would take very short comments from the audience if anyone would like to speak either in favor or in opposition to the approval of this petition. Not more than 2 minutes.
Hi, I'm Terry Schultz. We've lived there for over 40 years. There's never been a wreck. We've improved the access by having a place where you could pull off to get the mail, and our mailboxes are set back further. So you can, I mean, we've got people pulling in there all the time just because it's a great view to turn around and go the other direction if they're going direction. We can see, we keep it down. We can see what's going on. My 90-year-old grandmother used to pull out of there, and she could see what was going on. Nobody has ever had a wreck there. in 40 years. And my husband ran a business there and sometimes had as many as 9, 10, 12, 15 employees coming and going. And so I understand your concern, but I have a brother who's a civil engineer in Florida. We talked to him about the speeding problem in front of our house because that is a problem. We've talked to the sheriff. There's so little they can do with the manpower that is accessible in this county. He suggested we do the cameras that automatically send you a ticket if you're driving down that road going that fast. And I think it's something we need to look into, not only in front of our house on Greasy Creek Road, where we've seen teenagers driving by at 60 miles plus an hour, but in several places in the county. He said it's the cheapest way to go, it's the most efficient way to go, and that's what they're doing all over the place. And that's all I have to say.
Okay.
Do you have any questions for me?
Thank you very much. Anyone else like to speak, either in favor or opposition?
Just because there's... My name's Lucy Schultz. I hope to be the future of the Brown County Hog Farm. I just wanted to speak on behalf of my parents. I think that this is a great thing for our community, and I just wanted to see if you guys had any questions for me, because my brothers and I will probably run this someday, so... Any questions that you would like to address with me specifically?
I guess all I would ask is, are you fully in agreement with the conditions that we would like to see on the property?
Absolutely. Yeah. In fact, I work in the music industry and I'm a nurse, so I was the one that brought up, like, hey, if we need to keep the sound down, like, let's make sure that there's no amplified music outside, and if we do have any music, it'll be somebody strumming on the guitar that shows up to see me, so it's not going to be anything like that. So, okay. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Anyone else?
One more.
Okay.
Hi, Jim Schultz. The reason that we started to do this, and one of our main impetus for it, was that there would be more affordable housing. And we had been watching the APC for numerous years approve tourist rental after tourist rental after tourist rental. And we've also watched the decline in the school system population because of just what it's done to the available housing in Brown County. So, our goal was to not have a tourist rental, and so we're running opposite to the trend there. So that's all. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, sir. Yes, that is an issue. In fact, I went to a conference yesterday on rural housing in Indiana and learned a lot of things there. Brown County is certainly faced with a shortage of affordable housing, however you want to define it.
Mm-hmm.
We've got $500,000 homes for sale, we've got $1 million homes for sale, we've got businesses for $1.5 million or whatever, but we don't have any of those $175,000 or $200,000 houses for young people to buy and are able to rent. You can't rent anything in this county that they even afford. So we definitely face this, and it's not just Brown County. It's in most rural areas in Indiana, the bigger part of them are facing the same thing. So I think anything we can do to help the housing situation would be, I think, in the county's interest. So, but I don't say this is the answer to anything, but it's certainly something that could be a first step. So, no further discussion. Did you make a motion?
Yes.
Okay. Blake made a motion to approve the petition. Do I hear a second? I'll second the motion. Any discussion?
Is that motion to add on the fifth, the no short-term rental?
Yes,
as
yes.
Well?
Yeah, sorry, yes. Okay, hearing no discussion. All in favor, raise your right hand and say aye.
Aye.
All opposed?
Nay.
Okay. All right, thank you very much for your time and your consideration. Thank you, Caleb. And we'll move on to the next petition for rezoning. It's a different situation, but we look at each one of them and make a decision based on the merits of the case presented before us. You want to give us a short intro for this one?
Sure. You want me to read the whole thing again?
I don't think you need to read the whole thing. This one's quite a bit simpler, I believe. I think everybody will understand what they're wanting to do exactly.
Okay, I'll just read a couple of the points from the staff report here. The property is located at 100 Maple Leaf Boulevard. So if you turn onto Maple Leaf Boulevard, it would be right there on the left-hand side. The current owners, Charles and Marilyn Snyder, currently zoned primary residential, R1, and it will be 2 acres. The reason for the GB zoning would be to operate a medical clinic. Properties nearby have a variety of uses, including retail sales, restaurants, a car wash, banking, a dental office, an optometrist's office, license branch, hotels, nursing homes, senior apartments, a laundromat, and the music venue. The clinic would be accessed off a drive from Maple Leaf Boulevard, which is a commercial road. Water and sewer from the town is available. Duke Energy, there's natural gas that will be available as well. This facility currently has 20 employees, and they are housed in the rear of the YMCA building. So those employees, plus maybe additional more for more services, would move over to the new clinic if it were approved. Clinic operation hours 7 a.m. to 6 p.m. Monday through Friday, with the possibility of adding weekend hours. The current site plan shows 26 parking spaces measuring 9 feet by 20 feet, as well as 2 handicap spaces. As this area is adjacent to commercial district with many allowed uses, rezoning this acreage will allow a similar business use seems reasonable. This was sent with a positive recommendation from the Planning Commission at a meeting held on May 23rd. The commission voted 6-0 with one member absent to send a favorable recommendation.
Okay, did you say 2 or 3 acres?
2 acres.
2 acres, mm-hmm. Yes, okay. Well, this one obviously fits the category that we look for commercial or general business zoning. It's on State Highway, basically. It's in the corner of Maple Leaf and State Road 46. It's adjacent to the property that's already being used commercially. So it fits where we really want to see businesses go. And this is a business, and if I understand right, this would be like a prompt med or urgent care or whatever you want to call it.
Along with some walk-in hours along it, as well as regular doctor's appointments, is from what I understand.
So if you get hurt, break your arm, whatever, you can go there and see immediately. Hope nobody does that, but things happen.
Okay.
And that would be a benefit to our community, certainly the closest one would be to Columbus and Bloomington. And so, do we have anybody who wants to comment on this rezoning?
I'll
give you a couple of minutes.
Hi, I'm Chip Johnson. I have the pleasure of serving as the Chief Practice Officer for IU Health Southern Indiana Physicians. Just wanted to clarify the use. It will be primary care, which is what's currently in the office that we occupy, plus walk-in hours, which is, you know, general injuries, if you need any kind of sutures, you're feeling ill with walk-in availability, which we're offering now at the current site. We'll also have orthopedic presence, which we started a couple weeks ago on our current site, with the future to also add cardiology. So expanding services to support your community is our goal here. But I just wanted to clarify the use that it's not in urgent care, but it's really wrapping around more healthcare services for Brown County.
I appreciate that. Yes, I've had to call those services in both the categories there with the cardiology and the broken bones.
Yes, sir. I haven't seen any plans on this building. Have you designed a building yet?
You want to come up with this? Vanna, you want to speak too?
This property is not tax exempt, is it? Is there actually no pay property tax on it?
discuss, or...
You might explain the relationship between you and the Warren.
Right.
Right. Current state or future?
Yeah.
So currently, the YMCA is our landlord. So we rent from the YMCA. In the future, the building would be owned by the YMCA with which we would lease the space from. So the YMCA would actually be the property owner at the Snyder property.
So IU is not the property owner?
No, sir.
No.
The YMCA would be. And this is a rendering of the building. Again, goal is to make it very aesthetically like the Nashville and Brown County community. So sandstone as well as some stained cement board. And would be glad to bring this closer if you would like to see a better visual up close.
Sure. And no taxes, am I correct, Kim?
Correct. Well, we're at the file with the county on that. We're negotiating that, navigating that, I guess. So this is all donated funds. This is not YMCA membership dues or paying for this. So we are tax exempt as we are in health.
Correct.
So.
Okay.
Very well, yes,
if you would, yeah.
And the use with the, what did you say, it was considered 200 Maple Leaf Drive?
100.
Is that going to be a conflict with the music center? Shared drive?
I can speak to that.
Yeah.
Well, by the way, who's the architect?
Cooler Designs.
Okay.
Doug or
Turtle?
Yeah.
Leifer?
I've talked to Kristen about this, and we've discussed the fact that obviously Nashville's growth is very limited and very pointed to where the only places that are allowed left to actually grow to and stuff. And the intent is to not have a bunch of entrances off of Maple Leaf, but to start like a main entrance up near this. The entrance to this will be just north of the south end of the hotel, if that makes sense. So, to keep it up there, so as they're stacking traffic in and out, there won't be a lot of other entrances there. You know, again, Jerry and I have had a brief discussion about this, that, you know, the Snyder Farm has been in the Snyder family since the 1800s, and when they first came to me because they were kind of striking out, trying to find a place to build this building, and because I've got a relationship with Chuck and Joyce, to try and negotiate, you know, parcel off of there. I imagine, probably not in my lifetime, but who knows, that there may be another parcel directly south and parallel with this property along Maple Leaf toward the music center that could be sold. Get your checkbooks out. This wasn't cheap, but that's the cost to do a business when you're the only game in town. And I wish it was me, but it's Chuck, and God bless it for it. So yeah, we've had discussions of protecting the stacking of the traffic in and out of the music center. The good thing about
one entrance in Edgar off Maple Leaf.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
So again, the good great thing is the hours of business are going to be offset too, so it shouldn't be a huge issue. Who knows what the next business may be, but that's for them to decide. I suppose.
Is that technically in the county?
But right now, it is.
Yes.
And it will remain.
In the county?
In the county. Because Maple Leaf Boulevard is the boundary, if you will. And we've discussed with the town about the possibility of annexation, but in reality, there weren't any real benefits to going through that extra motion. And, you know, we'd actually like to think with this thing we under roof before bad weather. So I didn't want to have to delay it yet another procedure. And the fact of the matter is, like you said, we're right next to all the general business zonings. We're surrounded by it. We're on a state highway and stuff. It just seemed like the simplest, easiest thing to do to leave the county and go for the general business zoning. And we have to, and you can correct me, we have to go for general business because of the clinic. I think it's the way the ordinance reads. And that's the reason we're asking for general business.
For the tax situation, I suspect that's not really much of an issue because the tax on a 2 acre parcel of agricultural pasture land is not much. even though it's only 46. I can tell you because...
Well, obviously, the hope is, as far as tax revenue goes, is as they add employees, they'll be taxed.
Yeah.
And stuff like that, and things like that. But, I mean, this whole relationship between the Y and IU, and the reason they're able to fund this is due to this generous gift from the Bergout family. And, you know, going to be named after his wife, Sue. She doesn't like the name Suzanne, like that. That's right, put that on the drawing. But he wants to give the Y, the reason they're involved, a sustainable future, as we all do. So the fact that they can be involved in this as a landlord gives them revenue streams and things that mean that health care and exercise and all these things that we need desperately here in Brown County will have a long future. Bert got a great vision. He's sharp as a tack, and he still loves Brown County, and is willing to dig deep and provide the funding for it. So that's the reason of the relationship.
Do you have the blueprints already?
I'm not doing the building itself. It's about a 7,500 square foot footprint. They're still kind of in a little bit of flux. I don't know if Suzanne has got some. But basically, I think in round numbers, it's like 12 exam rooms. There's x-ray and some other things. And I'll let you speak to that.
You know it as well as I do.
Yeah.
Yes, we are in the early stages. We just retained an architect, as I mentioned, Bill Cooler, for the building design. A site design is being done by Nashville native Jeff Daniels. Jeff is here doing the site work now, so we're just beginning. In fact, bids are due for a construction manager today at 2 o'clock. They're probably on my email account as we speak. So preliminary, we have a typical plan that we like to, a prototype for a medical office building that IU is duplicating across the state of Indiana. We're modifying it here to make sure that we do not have a big box look, making sure we have enough articulation in the facade, which you saw preliminary renderings of. Our goal, as Chuck mentioned, is... Our goal, as Chuck mentioned, for our audience as well, is to make use of Nashville materials, our sandstone here. County. 12 exam rooms, so that means we'll have four providers here. Primary care for the majority of them as we went through the different specialties. It'll have an exam room, exam rooms 12, it'll have an x-ray, a radiology suite, and it will have a lab. Procedure room as well.
Lab.
And a laboratory for lab tests and what have you. So preliminary at this stage, we're fine-tuning it. We're going to go through a design phase now for the next 3 to 4 months, fine-tuning it and completing construction documents, and hope to break ground with your approval probably in the next month and a half.
Question, as far as the orientation of the building, and I know right there at that particular point, the state highway right-of-way is rather tall. It almost would block the view of that building from 46. Is there any chance you're going to reduce state highway property back to levels?
So I'm going to,
which way will the building be placed?
I'm going to let Nashville native Mr. Fandu come up here and talk to you about the site design.
Actually, I'm new to Brown County. I bought property in 2006, so I'm not long-term like the other people here. The building, long access is the north-south. Major entrance to the building will be in the northwest corner, which will be viewed from the intersection of 46 and Maple Leaf. So you'll have, if you're eastbound on 46, you'll be seeing the entry to the building, and that's the tall canopy area that is in the rendering. The parking will be along the west side and the north side of the building, and there will be a turnaround so people can drop off a patient, turn around, and then exit the back to the parking area or leave the site.
What's the offset from the road to the building?
There's a 110-foot setback from Stairway 46, and we're about another 15 feet south of that setback line.
Okay.
So the why, you're basically, this is an extension of the why, correct?
No, this is, they're basically picking up Dr. Garcia and IU Health's facility that we have right now, moving it to Maple Leaf Boulevard. And expanding services, yeah.
What I'm seeing as a commissioner, we have people that come in and they speak very well. And then documents start arriving, stacks up for us to sign that we haven't been over. I would like to see the blueprints and any paperwork that the commissioners will be requested to sign in the future before I make a vote on it.
There shouldn't be any documents for the commissioners, right?
The process, that, as I understand it, is that when we rezone the property, we'll be able to come in and get building permits to build a 7,500 square foot facility with, we actually increased the parking to 34 spaces. But as far as any agreements other than that, it'll just be getting a building permit. We'll serve letters for the water and sewer electric. And we have a driveway cut permit, a permit. So I'm not sure that there's going to be additional paperwork required from the commissioners.
Yeah. We haven't seen any blueprints. I'm pretty sure that if this was before the town, I don't think the town would just go, okay, you're using local material. We're good with that. I believe the town would want to see your design, the actual design of the building before it was approved.
Well, we're not in that. We don't have those documents. We don't have the final blueprints for the building.
I think at this time I'd make a motion that it's tabled until I see some blueprints and have more information.
Excuse me for interrupting. All of that falls under the building department. That's what the county ordinances are for. That doesn't fall under the commissioners. You don't have any authority on that part of it. That's why you created the ordinances. You're just building or answering on the land use. Can the land be used for general business to build a medical facility?
You're just rezoning it.
That's what you're... vote is for today. It has nothing to do with that. That is totally up to the planning department and the building department, and that's what our county ordinances are for that.
Not the commissioner.
It would have to go undergo state review prior to them getting a building permit as well.
Yeah. Well, I have total confidence in the planning and zoning folks. I mean, they come up with a 6-0 recommendation, so they've obviously done their hard work to make our decision a little easier, but I think we're real lucky that we had somebody like the Board of Yelts that were able to jump down that kind of money to have what is, I can't see any downside to it. I mean, we talk about emergency services, but I mean, I know this isn't emergency services, but it's just another piece to that equation where we have, our medical taken care of a little bit better, but, I've never known IU do anything halfway either, so I think this is, to me, it's a no-brainer. I'd say we move it along. I'd move that.
We have Sandy, you want to have a comment? You may inherit this building one day.
Oh, I know about that. I'm Sandy Jones. I'm the town manager. Kayla and I did speak about the possibility of our development review commission looking at this. I know Doug and I talked about, do we annex, do we not annex? Being that the facility sits so close to town, everybody's gonna assume it's in town. So if part of your conditions could be that we go through maybe a smaller version of the DRC review, just so we get the right look to it, which you've already looked at.
Right.
So that would be my request if you guys did do that.
Okay. All right, thank you. Anyone else?
Jerry, I might have a little overwing.
Sure.
A couple of months ago, Doug had actually came to my office and brought a preliminary site plan just so we could look at the options for the driveway, for a future driveway permit. So we did review the fact that we could meet the ordinance for a commercial drive, that we had the setback the entrance is as far south in the lot as it can go to stay away from 46, so that you have room to stack traffic. And it also gives you the option if, like Doug had mentioned, if somewhere down the road in the future there is another lot sold off, that could actually be converted into a common entrance, so there'd just be one entrance off of Maple Leaf. So there is that option. So it cuts down on the conflict points.
Yeah, we don't want any more entrances off of that boulevard. We have to have it. So, you know, that's a good point, I think. Make a one common entrance could be from that building now and a future development, possibly down the road.
And then we also discussed that before plans are final, that we kind of look at the stormwater issues to make sure, you know, we didn't have water run down into Maple Leaf, some of those kind of things.
You don't have any emerging wetlands there, do you?
No. Now the Supreme Court struck that down. I'm happy to say
no.
I should have said that, but I couldn't help it.
It's one of the highest points on the farm.
And Jeff can speak to this. He actually has brought his latest version of a site plan with him. There's a copy here that I think you're welcome to see. But we are talking about doing stormwater retention on site.
Okay.
So that we can control that too.
I've had to explain this in the past, and I'll explain it one more time because I don't think a lot of people have heard it before. But the decision before this board is a very simple one. It's either to rezone this to general business or not. We have nothing, no part in designing the building or approving the building. We have no part in what they do with this. Once we zone it for general business, they could change their mind, put a gas station there. They could do anything that's applicable under general business zoning. And once we zone it, it's out there. It can be used for any kind of general business that's specified in our zoning laws. But I suspect they're not going to put a gas station in there because those are not very profitable. But I do have a lot of confidence in IU Health. We appreciate them. We appreciate the ambulance service they've been providing us here in Grand County. And I'm much like Blake. I trust everything in a manner to be very appropriate for Grand County. So it's our decision is general business or not.
Let me ask you one other thing, yeah. Mr. President. What about the... if the DRC review, is that in any way going to slow down construction?
That would be a problem.
So then I would say let's forego the DR, that review committee and go straight to getting the bulldozer out of there.
Yep.
Okay. Yeah, Sandy and I had this conversation, and this building, like Suzanne Pallett mentioned earlier, is modeled after other structures they built in Indiana, one of them being in Bailey, one of the more recent ones.
Right.
And we took that building and stripped off all the horizontal brick banding and lines and broke it up into small pieces and put little awnings over the windows and the larger, you know, actual pattern of Grand County stone. I've been talking to Kevin about breaking stone and added a little bit more of a cornice on the top just to give it some architecture and to not look quite like such a big building.
Right.
And I think the newer plan that's been coming up with may even have one more in and out on the side that faces, I guess it faces Chuck. So it's not just a box either. It does have some ins and outs and stuff.
So yeah, I didn't mean that, you know, I know it's important, the design review committee does a great thing, but in this case, you know, it seems like that will just maybe a good time to forego that.
I can expedite things.
Oh. I was just going to say, I'm Lucy Schultz. I'm an IU Health nurse and have been for 12 years now. So I just think this is a great option for the community, and I heard about this through another nurse that's going to be one of their head nurses. So she's really excited about it and part of the Brown County community. So I think that it would offer jobs to people like me and other nurses, and I'm excited to have support providers in the community.
We're never going to have too many doctors or nurses around. My experience, they're hard to find and hard to retain.
Just one more comment.
Yeah, go ahead, Doug.
One thing that Bert brought up, we had a little dinner the other night where he was in town and we were able to get together and kind of be happily on our way to finally getting this done, is the history of health care in Bryan County. Like when I grew up, again, I'm a lifer, it was Doc Seibel or nobody. Yeah. You know, and there was a period where, if you remember, Columbus Regional was our ambulance provider, and they kind of grew weary of being here, and there was a time where we almost didn't have anything. The fact that IU has made an investment in what's in the Y building now, and now they're making a huge investment in a new structure to actually advance their positioning here in Brown County is only a plus. I know my family, unfortunately, has taken advantage of having to not drive that 20-mile drive for emergency services. And not to say this is exactly what this is, but the more patient care as it grows, you know, it'll grow into the fact that you don't have to have an appointment in a week if you do it. Dave did chop off half your thumb. But anyway, so, you know, to rehash the history of healthcare in Brown County, I think this is a massive positive.
Yeah, I remember at one point in time we were getting one doctor and threatened that doctor would go away. And we had the county, was certain, I don't know who was responsible, but they made arrangements and brought in a doctor on some kind of a grant or some kind of a public health deal to bring another physician to the county. I'm a little older than you, Doug. When I was a kid, it was either Dr. Seibel or Dr. Schneider. Schneider Seibel with the clinic here, and I think they met the first real doctors in the county. We had guys with bags and horses.
Josh Vaughn?
Okay, would you like to begin?
Just one comment, just in regards to the design review committee. So I work for IU Health, but I am a professional architect by training.
Oh, really?
I know the importance of working within a community and making sure that the aesthetic meets your needs, and more than willing to review with you and take input. We actually have a prototype for these medical office buildings, as I noted. And they fit very well in suburban Indianapolis, concrete, glass, and what have you. And I knew that would not work for you.
Thank you.
And so you have my assurance that I will work to make sure that this looks like an appropriate building for your area. I was a little concerned about instituting the design review only because of timing. We haven't built that into our schedule. So that was my main concern. In order to meet the budget that's been established and break ground. We know what the costs are doing at the moment in construction. We know where trades are. They're building battery factories in Tennessee and Kentucky, and we're having trouble getting people. So we would like to get this and meet our budget before our costs escalate. And I am a little concerned being asked to meet the township's review committee and timeline. I know we meet once a month, et cetera. That may add time to our schedule. That's my concern.
Okay, well, thank you very much. Okay, we have a motion on the floor from Ron to the table. Do I hear a second? I don't hear a second, so that motion will die. If there's another motion that might be made.
Yeah, I'd make a motion that we go ahead and accept the situation as it is without the design review, just to expedite matters, go forward with that one.
Okay, is there any discussion? Do I hear a second for that motion? I'll second that motion. And then is there any discussion? Hearing none. All in favor, raise your right hand and say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign.
Day.
Okay. Good luck with your venture.
Thank you.
And we look forward to having you in the
community. I do need to change the ordinance to add that one condition. And then I will ask the Schultz to sign off on those commitments also. So we'll wait to report on the Schultz. I'll have the ordinance ready for you, but I had them sign it properly.
Right. You're so good.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, moving along, sort of closely related, Kim, I believe you have come up with a
a proposal for.
Yeah, we were given the opportunity just to, what is today, Monday night, from 5339 streaming fund to get a new access bus, so we can pay 20%, which we have. So I just need a signature to approve with the, with NDOT to get this new bus.
You have this money for?
Yeah, so it's a $117,000 vehicle, we have to pay 20%, and it's $15,000, and we have a generous anonymous donor who has been donating annually, so that will come right out of that donation to pay for the $15,000 portion, which is 20%.
Okay.
So we know, you will be the lien owners, because it will be your vehicle.
Yeah.
You're going to hold the title, or the title.
Exactly. Okay.
We'll take care of the maintenance, I mean, same as the other vehicles.
Sounds to me like you're going to get a new van, and you have the 20% match.
Yep.
And it's not going to cost the county anything.
Not going to cost you a penny.
That we're going to end up holding the title.
Correct.
And is there paperwork on that?
I just need signature so I can get it to Midwest Transit so he can get the order moving. It's just like I said, it popped up Monday night at 4 o'clock. This was the vehicle that we requested in 2021. And with the chip shortage, everything got backed up and now they're available, so.
Is this one the van or what?
This is the
There's two pages for you, Jerry, to sign as the president of the commission.
The rezoning?
Oh.
That's my vote. That's my stuff. So I would be signing that.
Okay, this is. This is one, is it?
That's for the rezoning of, for the primary care.
The primary care,
yeah.
Okay. So there's a place for yeas and nays. So you sign every vote.
Then you can always start out.
Do you need these to sign, Jerry, or?
Yeah, sir. The order for our idea.
Do we make a motion on that, or?
Yeah.
Sorry.
Go ahead.
Motion approved.
I'll second it.
Any discussion? Kind of a no-brainer in my opinion. Somebody's going to give us a free vehicle, so I'll sign for it.
Thank you.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor, raise your right hand and say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign.
Thank you.
New vehicle, okay.
I'll bring it to you. I'll give you a copy.
We can use it on the weekends, right?
But you're going to need to sign it too because they have a court, they have a thing now that requires two signatures.
Good.
Yeah,
right here.
You just tell me what to do, girl. Okay, moving on, I think the next up is Parks and Rec, Mark Shields.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
So a couple things I want to address. I think it's back in April, I approached the commissioners about the joint use maintenance agreement with NDOT, and that was in regards to the Salt Creek Trail mural project that we had received a grant to start hopefully later this month. So I don't know if you all had a chance to review that. but was hoping to look at hopefully getting that signed off on by the commissioners so that we can move forward on getting the permit that's required through NDOT before we can start the mural project.
You want to comment or let me go in?
Go ahead.
Whatever you'd like to.
We received that on the mural. As reading through it, I seen the paragraph that says, whereas the county shall be solely responsible for all costs associated with insulation, maintenance, improvements, and removal and enhancements. I forwarded that to our attorney, Mike Mogul. You up here, Mike? Mike?
Yeah.
I believe your advice was not to sign this until we know that you actually have the grant. The county's not interested in paying for everything. It appears that there could be, is this number correct, that much more cost?
I believe that. Numbers, Mark.
I've sent a revised budget, so it should be $55,000 was the total.
Yeah, that's what's on there.
And the grant is supposed to be for $25,000?
The grant from the state was for $25,000. There was matching grant funding, $15,000 from the Brown County Community Foundation, and then an additional $15,000 that was through the Nashville Arts and Entertainment Commission.
And that's supposed to cover this $30,000?
That would be the matching funds, yes, the $30,000.
So I think we possibly ought to send this to the attorney to review. But the conversation that I had with him was he suggested we not sign this until we get all this figured out?
All figured out as far as with the funds?
Well, it basically says anytime we touch that thing, we have to have NDOT permission to clean or clean up, or if your lights are too bright up above, that's an issue, they could come back. But basically, we can't do anything without NDOT permission. And at this point, I'm going to take the legal advice and not sign at this time until we can figure out the details and whether that's what we want to move forward with.
So essentially then you would want to wait for confirmation through legal as far as whether or not they see any issues with the joint use maintenance agreement then.
Right. I'll wait until I go to a different subject, but go ahead, Jerry, what's your thoughts?
Yeah, so you wouldn't need any additional funding from the county for this?
No.
Okay. It's all funded. And where exactly would this go?
So the underpass of the 46 bridge.
Okay.
So if you're familiar with, if you're coming in from CVS, say the CVS trailhead, when you walk underneath the 46 bridge to your north, is just littered with graffiti. Some of it's been there for years. It just seems to just keep getting added to frequently. So the purpose of this grant would be to hide all of that, cover up all of that graffiti. And then once the mural is painted, there would be what's called mural shield. It's a product that's supposed to be like a varnish that coats that mural that prevents future graffiti from being applied to it.
I want to add to that, if you've never walked that and never seen that graffiti, you have no idea how bad some of that stuff is.
I was down there probably 3 years ago. Yeah.
What makes you think we're not doing enough walking?
I didn't say you were good, not doing enough walking. You said you never walked there.
Yeah, so most of the graffiti there is stuff that, yeah, you wouldn't want your kids to read or see.
What about the maintenance? Is there any maintenance to this? Is there any further cost that we'd be obligated to refurbish it at some point later? Or,
to my knowledge, no. At this point, once the mural would be applied, as I said, there'd be that mural shield product put up. The additional maintenance, quite honestly, probably wouldn't be any more than what we're already doing, and by that I mean, we have people spray painting the trail surface, they spray paint trees, so a lot of that we're I try to stay up on covering over that or removing that as quick as we can. And that way, I'm hoping that'll send a message that anything that you put on there as your tag or your mark is not going to be left long. So,
as it stands now, you all get Parks and Rec doing the maintenance on the trails. Okay. And that is funded by, how much is that running right now, you know?
So just this year, we were finally provided a line through the council for $2,500 that covers trail maintenance. Prior to that, prior to this year, the council had appropriated $100 a year to the trail maintenance.
Okay.
And so a lot of that was just maintenance that the Parks and Rec Department was providing. Some of it, we did have a little bit of money that came off of the DNR grant. There was my understanding, there was an endowment that was set up. And so for a brief time, the interest that came off of that grant funding was then channeled into a fund where Parks and Rec could be reimbursed for our maintenance.
Question, comment here in the back?
Mark, Judy Swift.
Could you come up to the mic, Judy? I'm sorry. Hey, make you do it quick. It won't be on the recording.
Okay, sorry.
Is your buddy with you there?
I am. This question is for Mark, and this is Judy Swift. I walked the trail and underneath the bridge beyond where the mural's going to be. Is there any way that can be cleaned and that shield be put under there at some point so that they can't mark
like that arm area? Buttress type area?
Yes.
That we'd have to hire someone else. I guess there'd have to be additional funding for that, because this particular funding would strictly be for the mural portion itself, which would encompass the piers, I guess, right, as well as that one wall. But as far as then beyond that, yeah, that would have to be additional funding we'd have to seek out.
I was just curious if that's something that could be done, because obviously they can mark that area.
I think it could be done. I think ideally, and this is where I don't know, this is where it would have to be something to end on, and maybe Mike knows more about this, but ideally it'd be nice to figure out some way to enclose that area to prevent people from climbing up into the bridge there. I know we recently had supposedly some people that have been kind of squatting underneath the bridge there, so I think it might be an ongoing problem. But again, that's end on.
Yeah, okay. I was just curious. Thank you.
Thanks, Judy, for coming off that $100 a year thing and just
of course.
That's
yes.
A nice idea.
Well, might I say that we are very thankful for what we receive currently from the council, too.
Okay.
Can I go ahead. One quick question, Mark. So if for any reason this isn't approved right now, would that slow down? Is there a time issue here?
Ideally, the artist was hoping to start either the 19th or the 26th, so later this month. So I guess it depends on how long it takes, I guess, Barnes and Thornburg to review this. But my understanding is once the county signs off on the Juma, then it also, I think the town council is supposed to sign off on it as well, because it falls under the area or the location is in the town's jurisdiction. Once that's done, ultimately then NDOT signs off on it and then grants us the permit to move forward. So to answer your question, it may. I don't know.
Well, I think we might have solved the issue that Ron had just in this discussion here, so I don't know that there'd be any real benefit.
Attorneys here, have you been convinced, Mr. Mogul?
Yeah, so I think from our discussion earlier on, it's just about the money aspect. you know, the county will be responsible for the cost, maintenance, everything of that nature. And I know you had some concerns whether or not that grant money, when that's coming through. So my recommendation would be to confirm that you are going to get that grant money, so the county is not on the hook for, I think you said $55,000. But assuming that you guys are okay with that, then I'd say I'm good to go as well.
Okay.
I don't know if it makes a difference. I do have the award letter here from the Lieutenant Governor's office.
Yeah, I think I would like to see that.
So. I know I just forwarded it to you guys prior to the meeting. Okay.
These are the actual legal documents here.
My motion is to table it until we get all the paperwork correct and understand exactly where we're going. That's my motion. And I'll forward it to it. And if you have that, if you can give that to me before you leave, so we can forward that to the attorney.
The award letter?
Correct.
I sent it to your email. So I guess Julie says she's got it right now.
Okay. Well, we'll send everything to the lawyers and have them review it.
Here's a copy. I sent it.
And I believe the next meeting's on the 21st.
Yeah, 21st.
So in the next couple of weeks, we should be able to figure it out, make sure we understand exactly what we're doing.
I'm okay with it as long as it doesn't cost the county anything, and we don't get ourselves roped into a future expense that we don't anticipate now, such as make sure there's no wording here that says, you know, after 15 years, it's ours, and then we're responsible for maintaining it for perpetuity or anything like that. We sometimes
I think
have wound
we are
up
responsible to maintain.
We have wound up with some things that were sort of unfunded mandates, such as the trail maintenance. The trail got paid for, but by the way, you get to maintain it for the rest of your life. So thank you for taking up that responsibility, Mark. But I'm okay with it as long as legal is okay with it, that we're not committing ourselves or our Brown County taxpayers to anything more than an approval to do this. And certainly, whatever they put there, got to be an improvement over what's there already. So your motion is to
table until the attorneys have time to look over the paperwork.
Okay. Our next meeting would be on the 21st, Mark. Would that be okay to get approval by then?
I hope so, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. All right. We have a motion. I hear a second.
Said the artist is wanting to start maybe by
the 19th.
So, you know, this could, you know, I don't, you know how art people are. You get them off balance or he may not be back for
well, I think months. One of the things I know he had expressed to me, I guess, that he has the scissor lift that is going to be utilized.
Okay.
I think that's reserved to be picked up on the 19th. So,
yeah. If you're waiting on the NDOT permit, that may not happen in 2 weeks either.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Probably will not happen in 2 weeks.
Sounds like a man that knows.
Yeah, I know.
He knows about NDOT. I've learned a lot about NDOT too. Well, we have a motion. I don't hear a second. For now, that one dies. Would anyone like to make a different motion?
I think you might be right on track. I'll move. We'll go ahead and approve it, and then you can make a contingent on you know, whatever legal might say, but like I said, I feel like we've already kind of solved that. But,
well, if we do that, then he could give them the go-ahead by the 19th, because I'm sure legal could look over this and get us an answer. And we wouldn't have to have it for our next meeting, because the motion is contingent upon their approval. If Mike calls back and says everything's okay, then, you know, you're good to go.
So would you guys be able to, if legal says it's okay, then you guys would be able to sign it say, prior to the next commissioner's meeting?
Yeah.
Okay.
We're all retired, we don't have anything to do. Okay, so you made a motion to approve contingent upon approval for legal. That's correct? Okay. Do I hear a second to that motion? I'll second that motion. Any discussion? Hearing none. All in favor, raise your right hand. Say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed, same sign.
Nay.
Okay. All right, sir. When we hear back from legal, we'll let you know.
Okay. And then there was also, I guess the next thing that was on here was just security cameras for Deer Run Park. I don't know if you guys had a chance to really discuss that. I didn't realize that was actually going to be on the agenda for today, but is that something that we could consider moving forward, looking at, or has there been any kind
maybe
of thought?
Maybe you could help us out by explaining what was there, mm-hmm. what happened to it, is
yeah.
it reusable in any part, shape, or form, or we have to start over, ground up. Tell us a little more about the situation.
Yeah, so in the past, we had Rick Fox had installed some security cameras there, kind of overlooking the parking lot and a couple other areas there at Deer Run. So my understanding is that those cameras were becoming obsolete. I'm by no means tech savvy. Minette might be able to describe some more of the issues with those. But we had the cameras that were in the parking lot. Since then, you know, we were looking at upgrading. But not only that, our office, which is now in the lower level of the Vets building, the Veterans office itself, other areas of Deer Run, such as the skate park, the playground, did not have any kind of surveillance. So we did have a quote. We had someone come in from CIRCOM, but I think Laura had explained, also has surveillance with other structures here in the county. They had come out, looked at it, kind of gave us a breakdown of what we needed. So we were moving forward on, okay, this is what we want to look at for the future. However, in the midst of this, the Parks Board decided to sell our former office, which was the double white trailer out of Deer Run. In the process of selling that to be relocated, I guess we had to cut the fiber going to that system, making it completely rendering it useless at this point.
The old system was housed in that building.
Okay.
And the old system also cannot be added onto. It has to be replaced. So there's new legislature about cameras specifically being manufactured in China, so that can't happen anymore. And the two systems are not compatible, so we can't add cameras. If it's like a building code, if you change it, the newest part has to be enforced. So that's where they're at, like where Mark has told you so far. From the technical standpoint, everything has to be good.
So we're at ground zero. Start over, okay. That's what we're doing. And do you have any idea on the cost of a new system?
So I've looked at three estimates. The first one, I don't have that in front of me. It was from a company called Percata out of San Mateo, California. It was overkill for what we needed, and it was approaching $100,000. I'm waiting on a quote from Mr. Randy Taggart, I think that I should have hopefully any day. The quote I have in my hand is from CIRCOM that, again, according to Laura, I guess handles the surveillance for other, is that for the annex building?
Every building except the jail.
Okay. So the quote that I have from CIRCOM is for $11,626.68. This would be for 5 locations out at Deer Run Park, 2 cameras each location. So that would be the Veterans Building, one for the entrance of the actual Vets Building, one for the entrance of the Parks and Rec, our maintenance barn, which is where we house our tractor, our mowers, all of our maintenance equipment, the concession stand, which we've had broken into numerous times. We have our storage bathroom building, which essentially these cameras would be pointing towards the playground and the shelter house, just primarily for not only kind of keeping surveillance of the playground, but for liability issues or concerns.
That was my next question. Yeah. I believe it would be on all the time if we had an incident that happened on the playground.
Yeah.
We have surveillance.
Yeah. So my understanding, again, and Lord be the one to verify with this, but with the like the NVR or DVR that sends everything to the cloud, and that's all backed up.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Let's see, storage building, and then also again back to the parking lot. There would be surveillance for the parking lot itself. So this quote was essentially it's 7 months old, so may need to update that. But at that time, it was for, as I say, $11,626.
And that's not just cameras, though, Mark.
No,
it's network equipment.
Correct. I'm sorry. That's. So there's an itemized breakdown that I can forward to you guys if you wanted to take a closer look at this. One area that I thought that I had spoken with CIRCOM about, and Laura corrected me that I had not, one area that I did want to consider looking at, and again, I don't know the technological aspects of this, but back to the Salt Creek Trail and the mural area, that I would like to consider having some type of surveillance, if at all possible, set up under the bridge there for Salt Creek Trail. We don't typically have an issue many other spots on the trail. It's that one location that tends to, as I say, there's either graffiti going on or there's different types of vandalism, but we are starting to see people camping out underneath there as well. So, and Laura has explained there might be some difficulty there because there's not a power source. But I think my understanding from talking with Randy Taggart, he had said that there's options there. So,
there's also no internet.
No internet.
So, but hopefully where there's a will, there's a way. So I guess I'll be interested to see what options are out there. But that's something, too, I would encourage you to entertain the possibility to consider.
That's a kind of a bad location. I mean, it's a good location for some bad things to happen.
Exactly. Yeah, I mean, as I say, there's the graffiti and everything is one thing, but if it's making it to where people are potentially feeling unsafe being in that area, I think that would be a huge help as far as encouraging people to be a little bit more comfortable there.
Do you have any money, like from the sale of the building that you sold, to go toward this?
Potentially. We sold the building for $7,500. So that's something I could definitely present to the Parks Board, see if they'd be willing to look at sharing some cost in this. Part of this, again, a fraction of it, I guess, would be with the Veterans Building. There would be at least one camera and some of the networking that would be tied in with for the Veterans Building, but the rest would be with Parks and Rec.
Well, of course, you know, our finances are extremely limited, especially this year. So we have to look very carefully at any expenditures that we can put off till next year. I don't like to do business that way, but sometimes that's where you find yourself. The council's fantastic job of bringing our financial situation under control with our help, by the way. We do work with the council, and we were able to reduce our health care costs by a significant amount over the last couple of years, but we're still struggling. So I think what we need is maybe a little time to see if there's any money anywhere in our budget that we could put something towards this. And again, maybe you could tell us how much you might be able to find or put towards it, and we can take this up again next meeting.
I don't have problems in having security out there. You know, we just need to figure out the money, and if that $7,500 that you got out of the building could go toward it, I think it would be a no-brainer for us. I think we could come up with 412608 or something like that. That's the number. So I make a motion to table until you get your numbers right and figure out what your board wants to do.
Second. Okay, motion and second. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor, raise your right hand and say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign? Okay. Okay. We have another related issue concerning Parks and Rec, and I'd like for, if you're done, okay, Keith Baker has got some money in his pocket that's burning a hole.
Oh, my.
He just got some money for security?
Well,
he just took away the in-kind donation, so I'm sorry. Way to go, Ron. I would acknowledge that Linda Hobbs is still in the building as president of the Park and Rec Board. And, I'm as close as you'll get to a friend of the park representative. We have a loose group that helps with the park. A little history with the park. This is our seventh year to do free mowing for you. And I say you because the county park is a county park. I think it's an amazing relationship between the county and Park and Rec. It's not a territoriality issue anymore for me. It's not a, hey, this is your money, this is our money. This is about the kids, and so that's my passion. I spend probably 20 hours a week in the park mowing for you for free. I do it for the kids, the families that use that park, and the park right now is in better shape than it's ever been. The user groups right now between the kids' playground, the ball fields, the skate park, the hiking trails, the community garden, there are just so many things out there that are just truly amazing. The boat ramp, you'd be amazed to find out how many people come. As I'm out there on the mower all the time, I stop and talk to people. A lot of people from out of the county area are coming here to spend money. As an example, we spent $9,000 of economic development money to build 6 years ago to build the disc golf course. They keep score electronically, members of their group. And last year we had 2,300 people came from out of the area to spend money, buy lunch here, buy a beer at Big Woods, and play disc golf between here and the country club disc golf course. We're the site of the state championship. So for $9,000 investment, we get back all of that money, economic development money. So this relationship, this partnership between the two, I know in the past we've had some, or I've seen some issues. I don't work for Park and Rec. I kind of work for you guys. I work for the kids, so that's why that we're out there. Over that period of time, we have collected in volunteer hours, 2,600 hours of volunteer time in the last 7 years. We track that, just to give you an idea of what you're saving then. We share responsibilities for the actual paid maintenance people between the county and Park and Rec. It's easy to say, oh, let's use non-reverting money for that. Park and Rec's got money. Fewer families and fewer kids are doing things that they used to do, so concession stands aren't running as much as anymore, and we're having fewer kids sign up for Little League and those kind of things. But it's a jewel if you talk to the people that use your county park. So that relationship, that partnership is really how you need to look at that. And you start throwing in things like Mark and the maintenance guys taking off a day a week to run over to the trail to clean that up and mow that up and weed eat that for, well, what used to be $100 a year, I think. Now it's an amazing $2,500 a year. So it kind of brings me back to why I'm here today is that the equipment that you all purchased to do those things in the past. Over 10 years ago, we got a Kubota tractor that could be used for both the park and the trail. Mowing has been an issue. The most recent mower that we have that I use almost on a daily basis has over 700 hours on it right now. We just use the heck out of it. We have a couple of older ones, but it's time that needs to be replaced. For instance, it broke down last week, and Mark Chikai's got online and figured out how to replace a part. It's kind of an expensive part, I think.
The clutch, yeah.
Yeah, the clutch went out on the mower, our main mower, but they were able to band-aid that together. The John Deere Gator has broken down three times this year, and that's used for the trail maintenance. For instance, that's what the bucket is on the front to get the snow and mud off of the trail. Also, it's used to drag the Little League fields and all that. So that has broken down three times in the last month. We've replaced a number of transmission issues with that. So those two main issues need to be fixed. And money is tight for everybody, but I'm coming today to give you some money if you're willing to take it and partner with us. My wife and I were fortunate enough. We took care of an elderly lady in the county for a long time, and as part of her estate settlement, we were surprised that we were sort of gifted $20,000, and we didn't want it. We feel strongly, as I have in the past with council, I never took a penny with council, but we have donated that money back. $5,000 went to the Humane Society, another big pile went to Triad and a local camp, and I'm getting $10,000 of that to Park and Rec. But that's my passion, is maintaining your park. And so what I need to do is get help, maybe matching that $10,000 so I can have a mower that I can count on and a John Deere Gator that we can work with on the trail and at the park. And I know Bucks is tight. We used to have a maintenance fund. It was in your budget for capital kind of things. But this is sort of a capital improvement that we really need right now to continue where we're going. We're just keeping equipment going on baling wire at the moment. So I know it's easy to say, let park buy their own, but I don't necessarily dip into their money. Ron just spent $4,000. I was thinking about that as an in-kind for that. Now, we can get a little bit of money for trade-in for those two capital items, but I'm thinking if we partner my $10,000 and your $10,000 and the trade-in, we need kind of come up with another three or four probably. So, Jerry, if we can take a look at that and see where we're at. I'd like to say, yeah, next year we'll have more money. Let's just push it off at the rate everything's broken down. I just can't maintain nearly 30 acres right now in mowing with the equipment that we've got. So I don't want to bring that. I'll bring my own mower if I have to. Ed Reitzman has come down a couple times with his mower and helped. We took this on 7 years ago as a veteran issue because veterans and kids are my passion. And then all my older veterans started dropping off and couldn't do it much anymore. So we still have a couple that come down a few hours a month. But any questions about how that's a strange relationship to have that kind of community volunteerism. And nobody's ever said no when I call them and ask them if they come mow. They usually don't come back for another day after they do it, but I wear them out. But I just need the tools to take care of that park a little bit better. So thank you.
Kind of hard to say no. I won't buy you more if you're willing to. Every week and do work.
Yeah, I'm generally down there about 20 hours a week. I've got a lot of disabilities and back problems. But
lawn care is expensive. I've seen some numbers of what some businesses pay.
The good thing about volunteering is if you don't feel well after an hour, you can go quit and go home. when you don't get a paycheck. The other good thing is I don't have to listen to the board or tomorrow. And for several of you who are new to this, and Blake, you have previous experience, you know, that it's a unique relationship. It's a department within the county where we pay some of the salaries out of county budget, and they pay some out of their budget. But the state dictates a lot of things, like who's going to be on the board and who controls that. That's state law. So it's unlike any other department. It's everybody has to pitch in and do this. So I think the guys are doing a great job out there. The current staff they've got, they're one full-time maintenance guy and a couple part-timers. That young guy needs an award. He's doing a really, really good job. His heart's really in that. So, thank you for listening. But get out to the park and look around. I think you'll enjoy it. You have a reputation of the best park in the area. You say county park, and they think you're talking about the state park. That's not true. So,
I've been out there a couple times in the last couple months, and just drove around and looked at things. It's being very well taken care of. I'll say that.
Yeah, the kids' playground is just amazing what kind of use that's getting right now. You just don't realize. I mean, groups of even disc golfers, there are like 8 groups a day that are in there from out of town. Little kids constantly on the, not in summer, constantly on the playground. Last week I saw 5 or 6 cars with canoes and kayaks. It's like, where are they going to go this time of year? Because the water level is so low. You know, where are they going? But they go down there and play in the water. So. It's a real jewel being this close to town, I think, and I want to make sure that it continues and keeps up. We bought, the last purchase we had, by the way, was the 6 acres where the barn is on McCleary Road, and that was a joint partnership between the county and Park and Rec to pick that up. Over half of that is wetlands, so there's some things we can do in there and things we can't. We recently built a new trail there. We have over 4 miles of walking trails that we mow that you can get around. A lot of dog walkers. They're supposed to be on leashes, but they're not always. But we keep an eye on that. So, any questions? Mark and his staff are wonderful, great people to work with. Like I say, I can tell them to go to heck whenever I want to because I'm not paid. But just wanted to let you know what kind of really goes into your park and a little bit more about that partnership, how we need to do that together. So, anyway, thank you.
Is it,
okay. Well, the check's in my pocket, but I want to see how your matching funds come up before I throw this this $10,000 check back at you.
Hey, Keith.
Sir?
Sounds like the gator's probably done if you're having to do that much maintenance on it. It sounds like the mower's probably done. Is there a chance we might, like, lease a tractor and a mower?
Our tractor's good.
Our tractor. Can the tractor not be used to clear the trail? Is that too much driving?
Salt Creek Trail?
Yes.
It has some purpose to it. We don't have the right implements for that. Mark, you may have a better thought.
It's, ideally, it's not anywhere nearly as maneuverable as what, like a UTV, like a gator.
When we need a tractor there, the guys take the tractor over. But mostly it's mowing and having the blade on the front of it to scrape mud and snow. And
as far as like with our ball diamonds, though, the tractor is really kind of too heavy to be out on the...
The tires mess it up?
Well, yes, and the weight of the tractor on the infields.
Does it have tractor tires or turf tires?
It's got tractor tires. That's like right. Tires on it.
Yeah, that'd chew it up.
Just wondering.
Yeah, the Kubota's, when you need a tractor with a bucket, you got it. Now, I've lately been keeping my skid steer down there. I know it's a Bobcat that we use to move a lot of dirt. We're doing that right now. Underneath that trailer, by the way, was 3 feet void crawl space that has to be filled in before we can make a new parking lot there.
And
that's
for safety, too.
Yeah. So one of our volunteers has a big dump trailer, and we were down there on Monday filling up loads of that. And one of the ball fields we haven't used in 3 years because it got washed away. We're rebuilding that right now. But they're building a new building behind the retirement home. There's some sort of structure they're building there. And we sidetracked Young Truck, and they brought us 15 loads of fill dirt that we really, really needed, free of charge. So some of it's got rocks and junk in it, but we're trying to use that up as much as we can. So anyway, Blake, you had a question?
I just want to know, do you want me to hold that check?
Yeah, I would let the auditor hold it. I would like, you know, it's kind of my discretion. I would like to make sure it gets matched before I throw it in there. There are other causes that I could throw it toward, but I should say the lady that was just so passionate about the park, she lived close to the park. I won't name names right now. Also, she was part just animals were her real passion too, so that was a no-brainer. And she was taken care of for years by a triad, and so they got some of that money too. That, it just felt better, you know, to have that go in her name. Not like I didn't need the bucks, but you know, I would rather be in her name, and that's the park is important to her, and that's why I want to see this money go toward that. So.
Well, we appreciate what you do, Keith. You volunteered a lot of hours in this county, not only the park, but to many good causes around here, as have others in this room, and that's very much appreciated. You guys have a thought on this?
Hopefully
your money.
Hopefully we can find $10,000 to get 10. So
we are going to be asking Baker Tilly to come back and look at our financial situation. As you all know, we've pledged or signed contract for $1,060,000, like $277 for the courthouse. The coroner building is $150,000. If Julie, at some point, not right now, could verify the numbers as of 5/22. We have roughly went over these numbers, and I'm looking at like 2,005,000. Yeah, 2,539,071 as of 5/22. That I think is there, and if we take out the 1.2
million, a little over 1.2 million. I need you to verify that that number is correct. And then if we can get Baker Tilly to come in and verify that the numbers are right, and verify which numbers we have and what our future expenditures are going to be, then we would probably know what we have. So we'd be more than happy to help the Parks and Rec in whatever way we can. It's just with the money situation, we need to know exactly where we're at.
We have some accounts in there that, I took money out of to make the courthouse happen that do have balances left in the, building expenses and some maintenance accounts. I know Keith's working hard on this, and I appreciate the money he's come up with. I'm just afraid if we don't fund him today, he's going to just give that to somebody else.
No, he won't. No, he won't.
Yes, he will.
Yes, he will.
I'm going with no, he won't.
I'm going, you don't know Keith Baker well enough.
Really? Mr. Baker's a very honorable man.
That's right.
He's going to do the right thing.
There's a whole lot of other organizations he can donate to, too.
Well, I guess that's to his discretion.
Or we can do the right thing.
Just work so, you're confident we can find $10,000?
I believe we can. Yeah, it's there.
I say, get it while the getting's good.
Yeah. And if somebody walks in with cash in hand, it's hard to send them out the door. Yeah. Doing our part. I'd entertain a motion either way. What do you guys want to do?
I'd say as long as you feel like that we can find $10,000, then we go ahead and accept the offer and go ahead and pull the trigger.
I'd say wait 2 weeks.
Somebody make a motion.
Move.
We have a motion to match Baker's money for Parks and Rec for two new pieces of equipment. And
you buy in or lease them?
In the buying. In the process, we get some volunteers to operate it, so not too bad a deal.
Oh, did I say it needs an FM radio and the mower?
Oh, yeah, yeah. No bells and whistles. Just get the job done. Okay, we have a motion. Do I hear a second? I'll second the motion. Any discussion?
Yeah, I don't like spending money that we don't know where it's coming from. Like I said, I don't have the cross support in the parks and rec.
Jesus.
If you want to speak, why don't you come to the mic?
I have, multiple times. You'll be seeing me, don't worry.
Thank you for opening the door.
Okay, so we have a motion and a second. Discussion? Any further discussion? Hearing none. All in favor, raise your right hand, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed, same sign.
Nay.
Okay. All right, Keith, we do appreciate all the work you put in, and your volunteers help you as well. And we'll try to keep you in something that works. I know how frustrating it is to have something that's broke down every week. Most of my equipment falls in that category I'm trying to farm.
Actually, you fall in that category.
Okay. We have an absolute drop-dead time of 2 hours for any meeting. And so we've got about seven minutes left or something like that. We need to hear a little bit from Mike here.
And,
okay, all right. So, I hate to rush anybody, but tell us what you know, Mike. And I have a question for you.
Okay. I'd like to be very brief. Okay, the good news is that North Shore and South Shore both have a new asphalt down. Most of the stones down on the shoulders, they have not been striped yet. Because we'll let fake cure a little bit, and we'll stripe them all at the same time. And then Milestone pulled out for about a week or so, and then we'll come back and we'll start on Bean Blossom Road. But we intentionally put it off last until after school's out because of all the shuttle buses going to Sprinkler.
That's all community crossings?
This is all the grant money.
Yes.
Okay. And this was the money from the 22-2, which was the fall award last year for money to be spent this year. So the new grant cycle will not open up until July for the 23. Second round of 2023.
Two opportunities to apply, but you can still only get $1 million.
Right,
apply for $1 million one time and
You can do it all at once, or you can do it twice, which there's way too much paperwork to do it more than once if you don't have to. So we usually apply for it all at once and have been successful that way. So that will take care of a lot of the paying for the grant money. We're still, I'm still looking at the local priorities, but I want to look at the budget numbers a little closer, which are due by the end of June anyway. So we'll look at that for what we can do locally. I did get a very nice text message this morning from one of our, well, I guess now she's former town clerk, she will be former trustee, Vicki Payne, from a group of people who are relatives of the people who got relocated from Elkinsville when they built Monroe Reservoir in the 60s. They still have family reunions down at Elkinsville and at the Elkinsville Cemetery. And they sent Vicki a note to tell her that they were so thrilled of how well kept the cemetery and the county roads leading to them were, that they were thrilled of how nice it was to go down there for the weekend. Great. So they were. There are people that appreciate the fact that we ground the road up and made it smoother. So that was nice to hear from them. And you know, they related to Vicki, and Vicki passed it on. So that's good to know. I did have the opportunity yesterday to see one of our new Kenworth trucks that's being built. It's almost finished, finally, after a couple of years of waiting on just the fact that we couldn't even buy trucks. So as soon as they finish this one and the chassis sitting on the lot, they'll start the second one. So they pretty well got all the snow equipment mounted on it, and then they'll have to go through the final testing and make sure all the controls are working right before they deliver it. But it's what they call the new, it's kind of a cross between the 300 series and the 400 series. They created a new one. It basically has the low profile hood, and the stance is a little bit shorter than the red ones that we have now on the tandems. But with the tandems, we wanted the higher, the higher stance, and then that's a straight frame. So these are a little bit more aerodynamic hood, a little bit easier to see, and they're single axles. So it's a very nice looking truck. Expensive, but nice looking. I don't think the sheriff's here, but they have a vehicle, a pickup. I talked to Brad about it yesterday, that they want to give to us at the highway department, that they ran through their cycle. Thanks to the former sheriff's truck that they replaced with the new truck. It's got over 100,000 miles. But the way it was plated and titled, we need to make sure that we transfer the title out of the special situation it had with the sheriff's department and get it back into just our general title. Yeah. So as long as you guys are okay with that, we'll retitle it.
Right.
Yeah, I make a motion to go ahead and retitle it. Go ahead and pass the track on to the county highway.
Second. Thank you. Second. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor, raise your right hand and say aye.
Aye. Aye. Before you jump away, there's a piece of paper in front of me there wanting to sign.
Okay, one more thing. What I was going to give you is, and you can review it later because there's a lot of numbers here. Every year I have to do basically our annual operational report. Where we spent all of our money, where all of our income was, where we spent all of our money, and make sure it balances with the funds numbers that we have from the auditor's office. So that was all completed. I also had the email back that it was been approved through LTAP for the state, that they've accepted it. So that's all been approved and taken care of for this year. But it's good if you get a chance to look through it, and then if you want to, we can discuss it at the next meeting or something. But it gives you a good idea. And what's surprising, what most people, a lot of people don't realize, if you look at the last year when we did the special, we did a special big local paving project, but we had, not only do we have the $1 million grant money, but out of the capital improvement loan, we had $850,000, plus I had my restricted MBH money and some cash reserves that we had because we did a local funded paving project of about $3 million. So last year's total funds through the department was over $6.7 million. So it's a lot of work just to keep up with everything that's going on. But by the way, this is your copy, so when you get a chance to review it, then we can discuss it when we have more time.
Thank you. Before we run out of time, covered bridge certification, the number is 1. I don't guess we count the 1 at the state park.
No, we cannot. It's just on county roads.
Okay.
One bridge is being bought, so it should be for another $1,850. Maybe you can say that.
It doesn't say that. It just wants a certification.
Yes, that's good.
Okay. And it has graffiti all over it, too. Mm. So do we need to make, we done made the motion to approve this in the minutes? I mean, the claim, is it, you considering this a claim? $1,850?
No, it's just a certification. And then they will, the state will electronic transfer the money to us in the near future.
Okay.
Correct.
We don't need a motion separately on that?
No.
Okay. That's it.
Okay,
do you mind if I have a minute?
Yeah, I got one more question for Mike, actually two questions. How soon do you think they'll be paving the trail? I keep getting people asking me about that.
They have the majority of the stone, the compacted ag, has been put in. So depending on the weather, we'll have to do the finish grade on the stone, do the proof roll, make sure everything's compacted good. So it could possibly be in the next couple of weeks.
Okay.
And then of course we'll have to do the finish grading and seeding and all that kind of stuff, but it'll be done this summer.
Okay. And very quickly, tell me about 3130 Smith Road, where there's allegedly vehicles parked in the road. That's for debate where the right-of-way is and all.
Yeah, I will go document it, but they're not in the county right-of-way.
I didn't think they were.
Now, I will not say that they have not been in the past or if he's moving some stuff around, but typically they're not an obstruction. But I will go up and verify that.
I drove by the other day. There was nothing in the road.
Yeah, if you just verify that for us, that will resolve the complaint we had about it. That will be done. Okay. And...
Well, I've got a question for Ron. You said you found $31,000 mistake. I don't know where that's at. And when you found it, detail it for me.
If we would have approved the contract that you sent up for the study for the bicycle path, did you not send up a contract for the commissioners to sign?
I just gave you what they told me to give you.
Okay, well, what you give us, it was basically the same paragraph as the county shall be solely responsible for all costs associated with the insulation. It wasn't the insulation, but it was the study.
But there was nothing wrong with the claims or anything that I've been giving you.
No, it was a contract that you sent out. The other one was from Laura Manette that Jerry found, that they was wanting like $61,000, and we had negotiated $40-some thousand.
So it's basically the contracts that are coming in.
And they reversed that and give us the paperwork saying it was $40-some thousand. And then the other one was $1,900-some dollars. It was a bill from the attorneys, and the attorneys said no, they weren't charging us the $1,900-some dollars. If there's money to be corrected, I would rather have time to look at it to make sure I'm not missing something else.
Oh, I understand that. I just did.
Okay. Didn't know where the numbers were coming
from?
Yeah,
I wanted to know where the numbers were coming from.
Do you have a copy of the thing from the agreement from BLN that sent us, wanting us to pay up to $51,000, and the county was solely responsible for the bicycle study?
I only copy it or take it when you've signed it, and I put it and get it recorded.
Okay. I'll get you a copy if you need it. If you don't have one, I'll get you one.
Yeah, it's more a matter of producing the contracts rather than fucking paying. I mean, you're not going to pay anything we don't approve, so enough of that.
Right.
Okay. I think we're done. I've got to sign a bunch of papers. So. Anybody have anything else? No, I'll entertain a motion.
Motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn. Second. All in favor, yes. Thank you all for joining us, whether it be electronically or in person. Sorry it's a long meeting, but sometimes you didn't have to give 10 minutes, no matter how long it takes.